Welcome to the inaugural edition of Stokes and Folks, named by Kate Klunt, who's one of our guests today on the show. But that's why we have the banjo music, because it's Stokes and Folks, kind of folksy. That's why we have the banjo music. But we have today as our guests on the first inaugural edition here, three of the state's most enjoyable, humorous political operatives, all female, all three of them, because today we're talking about not just the inaugural podcast, but we're talking about the inauguration of the first female vice president in the history of the United States. So we have today joining us, I'll just go around the table. We have with us Alyssa Daly, who works for, do you want to go ahead and say what your job title is, or do you not want to confess?
Oh, I'll confess. Alyssa Daly, Utah Association of Realtors, UAR.
Okay, thank you very much. Jillian Wheeler, who may not want to confess, she's in from D.C. So this is a high honor.
Yes, I am one of the many that has a D.C. refugee, if you will, during the COVID era. So I'm coming.
Now,
back
was
to
that
my
addressed
roots.
In the executive order? Are you able to come to?
I think as long as I'm only here for about a 2 month period of time.
Yeah. Okay. We won't
exactly.
Have to,
there's a limit.
We won't have to round you up.
We put her in my upstairs. It's true.
And Kate Klunt, go ahead and tell us, give us your title.
I am also from the Utah Association of Realtors. And I want to thank you for inviting me to talk about a woman because I am not qualified to talk about anything else.
I thought it would be best, but it was a historic day. I'm the father of three girls and proud, and I was so... I mean, I've not been shy about this. I was thrilled when the Twitter was taken away. I couldn't stand the president being on Twitter. And at high noon, I was, you know, kind of alleviated, but also proud that this country had finally, after so many years, we're on President 46, we have a female vice president. Mm-hmm. So, but you all watched the inauguration. I want to know what your feelings were. What were the highlights for you? So, just jump in, anyone. I know that you're all bashful. So
we're very shy.
It's true. We are shy. Not opinionated at all.
There's no opinions here. Okay, so hit it. What did you think?
Well, my first thought is probably not a super positive one, but I think it's interesting that the only way we could get a woman into the White House was on the coattails of a white guy.
Yeah, another historic thing, the oldest chief executive ever elected.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like, I was like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was all about baby steps for women, and this is a baby step because we couldn't get a female president into the White House, which, I mean, probably for reasons other than what's between her legs.
this clean show we have here. Okay,
yeah,
keep going. Or what wasn't between her legs.
Yeah, or what wasn't. That's the better way to put it. What wasn't between her legs.
Yeah.
That was striking to me.
Just be grateful that while they would not elect a female president, they're totally fine electing a female vice president who, when the president likely dies, will take over. So it's like she wasn't our first choice, but she was our second.
I think it's cute that you think voters have thought that far in advance.
I mean, I think there was definitely aspect when they picked Kamala as VP was this idea of also making sure that they appeal to a specific demographic as well. So I think there are a certain subset of the...
Were you shocked based on like the first cattle call debate of the Democratic that Kamala was not very nice to Joe Biden.
I mean, that's an understatement.
And yet...
Keep replaying that clip over and over
again. Yes, and they did during the run-up to the inauguration continued to play that clip. But one of the things I didn't know was that she knew Beau Biden, mm-hmm. very well, and that may have softened that blow during the debate and maybe made it possible.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that there's an aspect of... We see politicians as their news clips and everything like that, right? It's the talking points that they say is who they are. But really, at the end of the day, they do get along better a lot more than you would think. and they had that shared history of both being in the Senate and working on certain issues.
Is it kind of that Hollywood thing, like, let's do lunch?
Yes.
You know, the Hollywood, the actors say, hey, let's get together and do lunch. I'll have my assistant call your assistant.
Yeah, except what this is like, hey, have my schedule call your scheduler. We can talk about, you know, how fun it is to do judicial confirmations. And so I think there's an aspect of collegiality that exists there that just because we saw them go at each other to try and one-up each other in a political horse race doesn't mean that there isn't an aspect or a good relationship that exists.
Now, well, that good relationship isn't going to generate clicks.
Oh, so. For sure.
But also, true. I think it says two things about Joe Biden. One, that he wanted to be president really bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really bad. But also that he can let it go. And I think that it's interesting because I don't know about you guys, but whenever we're involved in a political race and someone says even remotely unkind, they're like, well, I hate this man forever.
Right. You hold the grudge
forever. And it's, I like the acknowledgement that this is the game, you know, this is the process. Sometimes we say mean things, but at the end of the day, like, I get it. You wanted it. I wanted it.
I saw a mashup this morning on one of the news shows of Sean Spicer, giving his post inaugural, press conference about how many people, the spin. And I don't know if you saw the Biden press secretary.
I did.
She was amazing. Mm-hmm. But the irony of it is there was no one there on the mall.
They wanted it to be the smallest inauguration ever.
Yeah, exactly. But there was no one there, but no one was talking about how Donald Trump had made such a big deal out of it 4 years ago, and nobody was even talking about the fact there was no one there.
It's almost like Joe isn't an egomaniac.
Or weird. J-Lo counts as like a million people.
That's also true.
Yeah, and it is one of the things, as a Republican, and I'm sure there's people that are going to be listening to this saying, he doesn't really sound like a Republican. But as a Republican, we just don't get good entertainers. I love the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
I was like,
choir.
Are you trying to besmirch the Motown?
Yeah, I love the
or
Mormon Tabernacle
refer
Choir.
To them now?
What about the piano guys?
Yeah, that they played at the inauguration. But let's be honest. I mean,
didn't we get Kid Rock last year or something like that?
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't. But how? I mean, hey, we need somebody to perform at the inauguration. Nobody wants to come. I got an idea. How about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir?
That fills a lot of seats. That is a large choir.
It does fill a lot of seats. I went to the inaugural 4 years ago and got caught in the crowd of the Motab and in a dangerous setting because they were heading to lunch. And so it was dangerous.
Do not stand between a soprano and her sandwich.
Look, they got to fill out those ugly dresses. They've got to fill them out.
That's right. That's right.
It's just a wave of robes descending upon you.
But let's finish talking about the entertainment. So did you love the entertainment at the inauguration?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
I'm a millennial woman. There was Lady Gaga. There was J-Lo. I was only missing Taylor Swift.
We were oh my gosh, if he had gotten T-Swift.
Singing
Only the Young. I would have cried
would
tears.
That?
Because that was the song that she allowed him to play at the campaigns. It's like you don't follow T-Swift.
Somebody asked to play music at the campaigns because you know that the village people didn't get permission. that Donald Trump did not get permission to play
No, but there have been cases. Yeah.
That's like historic. Like that is unprecedented.
To not get permission?
To like overuse a word that's been overused. Yeah. Because usually they do get permission. Like, do you remember the fight song that Hillary Clinton used forever?
Oh, who cannot remember that
Rachel
fight song?
Rachel Platten?
Yes.
She had to get permission for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that it was Chris Christie who was using Bruce Springsteen, and he was like, could you just knock that off?
Yeah.
Amazing. He's like, bro.
He was like, not what this song was for.
No.
But it was...
I mean, Born in the USA, though, that also wasn't what that song was for.
No,
but
it was not.
It was a pretty amazing... Even the evening... I mean, I missed the parade. I really loved watching them lay the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, though. And I don't ever remember seeing that before. Was this a first?
Whether or not it's the first, I think the fact that they made such a push to do this online and keep everyone at home was actually a blessing in disguise because it allowed access for a lot more people to participate and understand these ceremonies and the things that take place. Like, so I was also in D.C. during the inauguration last year.
Four years ago.
Uh-huh. Also a decade ago is what it feels like.
Right.
And so it's...
I think you were helping with the inauguration.
Yes, I helped
you?
All of the congressional spouses find their seats.
Oh, wow.
It was very fun. I had to stand outside for 6 hours.
You're like
freezing cold.
An usher. Like,
I was an usher.
At the inauguration.
Like usher.
Aren't you glad you went to college?
I'm so glad I went to college. I was truly using my degree at that point in time.
Yeah.
But, and so being able to like see that aspect of it, it's really hard to explain to people why it's so cool. But now people were actually able to watch all of the ceremony and also feel as if they were a part of it. And I think that's an important part of our democracy, is feeling like you were part of the peaceful transition of power.
I watch Kamala's niece's TikToks, and I feel like Kamala is also my auntie. So.
Yeah, she, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a, but it was weird to see just 2 weeks earlier.
Yes.
That same area where it looked so peaceful and such a organized to be just an unorganized mess while people were climbing up the tower.
Yes.
You know, up the scaffolding.
The they were literally climbing the walls of the Capitol building.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Now, this is very shallow of me to ask. But
please say it's about the clothes.
I was like, because we've definitely have talked about that.
I'm going to ask. That's how shallow I am. So what about that bird on Lady Gaga's?
The bird that inspired 1,000 memes.
A revolution.
I texted several people and said, is this the set of the Hunger Games or is this the inauguration?
But I also saw a reference to Khaleesi.
For my older listeners.
Yes. She had the braid.
For my older listeners, the Hunger Games is what? I mean,
it's a young Games? A dystopian young adult novel.
Stanley Tucci's in it. That's all I need to know.
In the movies, not the book.
Stanley Tucci.
You don't know. He could have been the inspiration.
I think it's...
He's my inspiration.
I think he inspires me for many things.
Tucci gang.
I think she's going to be amazing, Kamala Harris. I think that I loved that Justice Sotomayor swore her in. I thought that was also amazing and historical. And I thought that it was amazing that they thought through that. The mm-hmm. Democrats do pomp and circumstance so much better than the Republicans. I don't know why.
Pomp and circumstance or virtue signaling, however you want to articulate
that's
it.
That's true.
But it's true because the DNC was much better than the RNC.
Oh, for
because
sure.
Because they were able to bring in those like human interest stories.
Exactly.
And I think Kamala was escorted by one of the police officers.
Yeah, Eugene Goodman.
Was a legit hero.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. I think they put a lot of thought into the symbolism. Good or bad, but in this case, I think it's really good.
I agree.
I did see that. So Senator Klobuchar tweeted that it was cool to see what you just mentioned, that Sotomayor was able to swear Vice President Harrison. But she said, you know, this is the glass ceiling breaking. And we have had a lot of conversations about how it's not really a glass ceiling, because a glass ceiling kind of implies that you break it, it's gone.
Right.
And anybody can go. And while it's a huge, huge accomplishment to have a female vice president, that doesn't mean that we'll just get like a ton of female vice presidents.
You've got 144 congresswomen?
Something like that.
Out of a lot.
Utah has one female state senator. So we like to compare it to a door. It's really more Republican state senator.
Mm-hmm.
It's really more like a door. So, you know, sometimes it's barred from the other side and you can't get in.
Sometimes there's a Cheeto man in front of it.
Yeah.
Blocking the
way. I mean, you know, sometimes somebody opens it a crack so you can slip in unnoticed. Mm-hmm. But either way, the glass ceiling, I think, kind of gives you this false sense of, well, we accomplished it. It's over.
Right. One and done.
And right. It's not. It's just one person.
Yeah. And I think Senator Harris, when she was doing all of the pre-interviews, now Vice President Harris, doing all the interviews in the lead-up, actually made a comment about that, where she made the comment about how her mom told her that she'd be the first quite often, but she wanted to make sure that she was never last. And I think going on this idea of the door, as women, I think we try to make it a point that if we get through the door, we need to make sure we're not the ones that are blocking the door from other people from getting in. And I think Senator Harris, and now again, Vice President Harris, sorry, I was a Senate creature, and so that has been, that is how I address her.
I mean, I was like, is calling her Kamala disrespectful? And then I was like, no, I call JoJo.
It's true.
So, but I'll work on that.
Yep. But the...
And it'll be hard to change from president-elect Joe.
Yes, yes. But just the fact that she's making that a point to me is also inspiring, beyond just the fact that she is there and something that women can point to as... a visual for what should be and can become normalized.
Well, and I think this is the way I view it. The glass ceiling is to remove the thought process from younger women, younger girls that mm-hmm. are seeing it and saying, we can do this. We're gonna run. We're going to win. Because it is true. I mean, we had the opportunity 4 years ago to elect the first female president. And that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had a female vice presidential nominee once before with Walter Mondale, Geraldine Ferraro, but that of course went nowhere. But that
don't
was
forget Sarah Palin.
I'm talking about the turbulence. I did forget her actually, but that's in our recent history.
That's
Geraldine Ferraro.
I got Cameo. I got her to do a video for your birthday. So,
oh, fantastic! Does she do it from her porch? Is Russia in the background?
Yeah, okay,
fantastic. Serious? Because I'm hoping that's true now. Because I mean, how awesome would that be?
I mean,
my daughters gave me for Cameo last year one of the contestants on The Bachelorette, and it was awesome. He would.
Wasn't Palin essentially the political version of The Bachelorette? What that was, the winner.
She got the rose.
She
that's
did.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just remember being at that convention and hearing her give her speech at the convention and then hearing all the stories about how they'd actually were changing her speech on the fly as she was giving it. And we were all so impressed with how amazing she did doing that. And I'm thinking,
she can read.
Yeah,
low bar.
Yeah, looking
very
back
low
on
bar.
It, I'm like, she's looking at the teleprompter and the words are, she doesn't even know. The words are just coming up.
I was like, she probably didn't know
them.
The speech well enough beforehand. If my experience has been anything, she's like, sure, just put on the teleprompter.
Yeah,
I'll
do it. I'll
I
do
genuinely
it.
Get what Tina Fey said and what she said confused. So I try not to quote anything because I'm
know.
Not sure.
Now we got it. We only sure have. Real. We're trying to make these, consumable for your commute. So we only have a couple of minutes left. I do want to highlight Garth Brooks' gutsy move to do it a cappella. I mean, it is tough to pull off an a cappella song, and he did it.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
And it was great.
I just
say
that anytime we have political disunity, we have Garth Brooks on standby and makes us all sing Amazing
together,
Grace together.
Together.
I sang that up in the bathroom as I was getting ready. And I got all emotional.
I'm with you. I sang it as well. Okay.
Okay, wait. The one thing that I do want to say is that I had so many friends post on Instagram photos of them and their daughters watching the inauguration as Kamala Harris was sworn in. And it was freaking heartwarming because as the girl who bought the, soccer Barbie that was a girl and the vice president Barbie that was a girl, it's so cool that they get to see it because there is something really substantial about seeing somebody that looks like you do the job that you think you may want to do someday.
And I think that's the glass ceiling that
was
broken.
If it doesn't feel striking, like having watched the inauguration and all of that live happening, I keep seeing all of these memes of every single vice president we've had over the history of our country, and then it's Vice President Harris. And if you can look at it visually in that way and kind of take it all in at once, it is pretty striking, and it's exciting.
Well, and I love that my nieces are never going to know a world where they can't point to, a woman being vice president.
Right.
That is the reality that they exist in, and that makes me so, so happy.
Yeah. Did I tell you you're not supposed to pound your fists on the table?
No,
at
you
the
did not. I apologize.
Studio?
Yeah.
It's very emphatic. Yeah, my friend's daughter had a little T-shirt on that said, "My vice president, my VP looks like me." And
oh, that is cool.
It
can
got
we
me.
Get a Can we get a picture
really
of that?
I don't. I could text her. But,
yeah, let's get one. That's
it got
awesome.
Me. It was very cute, and I am just really happy. I mean, sad because it took so long, but stoked for everybody who comes after us that, you know.
Thank you for working. Thank you for working, Stokes, into your closing statement. The last thing I was going to leave on was the young poet laureate who I thought did an amazing job as well. I did not know what the thing was in her hair, but I've had my daughters explain it to me.
It wasn't a bird.
No, it was not a bird.
But she did actually have a bird ring that Oprah apparently gave her as a reference to Maya Angelou.
That's so cool.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
That I'm telling you, they do the symbolism stuff.
I thought it was really
better.
Hopeful. Yeah, like the whole production was just genuinely a breath of fresh air. And I saw a meme where like the clouds were opening up and the sun was shining onto inauguration, and it was like real subtle.
Yeah.
And
and also Biden's speech was miles away from American carnage, and I appreciated that.
That happens to be the title of my metal band.
We just have to keep that energy going.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we are a divided nation. I mean, we're divided. You look at Congress, it's the slimmest margin in a century. You look at the Senate, there's only been a few other times in the history of the Senate that's been this close. So it'll be, although he spoke a lot about unity, it's going to be a challenge for him, and I wish him well. I hope he can unify the country, and we're all, holding our breath as to what the next move is from Florida. But I want to just thank you for coming. I think it was great fun, insightful. And this has been the inaugural edition of Stokes and Folks. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll come back next week. And you'll be able to find this podcast in the future where you consume your podcasts. But for this week, it'll be just on UTPOL Underground, or if you forget that, it's UtahPoliticalUnderground.com.